Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Settle back now, content, comfortable, well-fed, and ready for some fine entertainment. Is everybody happy? Then let's go. It's showtime.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
Most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you the fans' voice. Welcome. Happy Thursday.
Oh, absolutely. Happy Thursday, buddy.
Yes, going into Happy Friday. Or going into Happier Friday.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I call it Finally Friday.
Finally Friday. The good thing about being super, super duper busy at work, not that anybody cares, is that days just flip, bro.
Fly,
like, I'll work 10, 11 hours a day, and it's just like, before I know it, it's like, I'm way behind, and here comes Friday. So, I mean, it's like, take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, just look forward to getting the honey-do list done on the weekend.
That's right. So, well, we've got a couple things. We were going to go 2 weeks straight, but it didn't work. Too much stuff happens all the time. So,
yeah. I didn't want to get through like three games or two games of, you know, Boeheim's Army and not have something in between, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I get it. So what we've got for you is the 13th and the 14th recruiting commits for the 2021 cycle. And we also got, obviously, Boeheim's Army Downs, Menomaki, 76-69. We'll go over the good, bad, and the ugly of that. We'll get James's thoughts on that quick. And we are bringing him on to help us with the pregame for Sideline Cancer, so which will be played Saturday at 4. So it's going to be lots of stuff. We'll see if we can see how we can do here. Okay, but first, obviously, you guys know, this show is distributed by Armchair Media, and it is the title sponsor for this show and Armchair Media combined is betonline.ag, right? So, look, there's no shortage of action going on right now with our partners at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in July, but right now UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed. You can place your bets online at BetOnline. They have the best odds and lines for all the upcoming games and matches. If you need more, BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day live for our devout gamblers. So go check it out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device today. Join now and receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. Thank you, BetOnline. Also, look, it is summertime. It is summertime, and that means that you are going to be going to the beach for those of you who live around the beach, right? And or Green Lakes or Sylvan Beach, I guess, right? And you're not going to want a hairy back or anything like that, right, Joe? I mean, Joe, not really a hairy guy. Like, really?
No.
Like,
no. I mean, like, minus, I mean, you can take away the head part. It's still really, yeah, it's not. So, definitely no hair on the back.
Yeah, you don't have a hairy back. You don't got to worry about that. Well, neither do I. Nah. But some guys do. Well, we have the perfect solution for you. So, start taking notes. Manscaped has got the new Lawnmower 3. It's been beautifully redesigned to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is the third generation, hence 3.0. Features the advanced skin-safe technology upgraded so you can keep those bad boys nice and smooth or your back. Now, listen, ladies, you know, you can also use this thing. I mean, you know, women go to the beach too, if last I checked. And, you know, you can steal your man's Lawnmower 3.0 if you need to, right? I'm just saying.
In theory.
I'm just saying. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology development to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest hair trimmer ever created and just released the new Lawnmower 3.0. And it's premium. I mean, it's premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes. So you can take a long shave. You can even shave with this bad boy in the shower. And the LED light, which illuminates the grooming area for a closer, more precise trimming, even in the shower, guys. And let's not forget the charging stand. Show off the mower loud and proud, because this intelligent design stand is for convenience charging dock, and it's powered by a USB. And, you know, people have written in, a couple people have written in to us, you know who you are, and told us about their Lawnmower 2.0. Just imagine the redesigned Lawnmower 3.0, folks. Or, hey, you know, wait till next year. Get the 4.0. I don't know. So, go try it for yourself, though. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. That's manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the promo code armchair. Your boys will thank you. We thank you, Manscaped and BetOnline.ag. So, all right, Joe, the 13th and 14th recruits of the 2021 cycle are in the books, and verbal commits, obviously. These are all pending still, but one real exciting one. And we got, we'll start with the 13th, Jatayus Greer. Gear. I keep wanting to say Greer, and I'll probably do that until he's a senior. So I knew a Greer in high school. So verbally committed. He's a rising senior at Belton Hoana Path High School in South Carolina. He announced his decision late Tuesday morning. And according to Syracuse.com, 6'5", 240-pound Gear is rated 3 stars. Number 63 strong side defensive end of the cycle, 247 composite rankings is what Syracuse.com based that information off of. So his list included Georgia Tech, Kansas State, UCF, Western Kentucky, Memphis, and East Carolina, among others. So, Joe, this is the fifth defensive lineman following Jalen Moss, Terry Lockett, Hayden Nelson, Derek McDonald, and that's it. Those are the other four.
Well, that really, it kind of makes sense based upon, if you go back and look at some of our shows where we've talked about the depth and the team and stuff, even for probably the past 2 years, and we knew that we had a senior-laden defensive line last year, and coming into this year, we knew we'd have enough as far as starters, but, I mean, we still have a lot of unproven depth, so we knew that that was kind of the weakness of our team, so to speak. So it makes a lot of sense that that they're going that route, and the fact that you got to look at the turnover as well. I mean, you bring in a new scheme, bring in a new system, 3-3-5. We've already seen, what, 4 or 5 defensive players already go in the transfer portal. So, you got to kind of prioritize the defense and getting players in there that match your style. So, and this guy is definitely one of them. And I know that everyone wants to look at the quarterback and say, oh, you know, that was the best one. But when you look at 247 Sports and their ranking, their composite rankings, these two, Lampson at number one, but Jatayus Greer right behind him right now is the second-rated recruit from this class. And according to 247 Sports, and I'm looking right now, they have him at 6'5", 260. And watching his tape, he's very athletic. He's fast off the ball. And again, 6'5", 260, that's great size. And he's still got, you know, one more year to come in, or if they don't play, he's got a year to get his body right. And he had some impressive offers. So I'm pretty excited about him. Looks like he fits pretty well for what we're looking for to try to get pressure on the quarterback, because as we talked to Tyler last episode about the 3-3-5, that's one of the things that you're playing against passing teams, there's going to be times where we're going to have to try to get pressure with rushing only three or four. And getting guys like this is a good step towards that.
Yeah, and obviously working on getting all the defense set, which is nice watching, starting to watch some of this come together, especially with, you know, a couple guys leaving, a couple key guys leaving next year. So I don't know why this is clipping. The recording is clipping, and I don't know why, and it's really bugging me. So anyways, it's doing it on you, Joe. It's not doing it on me. I don't know why. So
sorry.
I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, I digress. Lamson, as you mentioned, is rated 3 stars by Rivals, 6'3". He threw for 3,114 yards and counted for 29 total touchdowns during his junior season at Oak Ridge High School. His performance earned him first-team All-League honors and Sacramento Bee's All-Metro Player of the Year honors, according to News Magician. He turned down offers from Sacramento State, San Jose State, and some D1s, Boise State, New Mexico State, Wyoming, and others. And he actually chose Syracuse over Louisville. So that says a lot. Look, this.
I love how you brought up Sacramento State, by the way.
Well, it's just, it was just in there. So that, it was on Nunes. But he's from Sacramento. He's from that area. So,
right.
but when you watch his tape, Joe, and you see this kid play, he makes some awkward throws look easy in awkward positions. He can scramble. He's not afraid to stay in the pocket and take a hit. He can scramble when he needs to. He can prolong plays and get what he's looking for. There was one play I saw in his reel. Is he a punter too? Or was he just in there for a fake or something? Anyways, the snap goes way over his head into the end zone. And this dude just stands in the end zone and launches a rocket. Really good. He reminds me, like I told you, he reminds me of Eric Dungy, but with a little more accuracy, I guess is the way I'd put it.
Yeah. Yeah. When I looked at him in his tape, it kind of reminded me of Dungy, except for there's a couple little differences in my opinion. Obviously, being, you know, dual threat quarterback, he's coming out. He's probably a little bit higher rated than Dungy was coming out. He got better offers. 6'3", but 210. And I mean, obviously, we know any quarterback we were going to get this year in our recruiting class, they're still sitting behind Tommy for 2 years, right? So he knows that. I'm sure anyone coming in knows that. He's going to get his body right. But the one thing that I noticed more than anything, like you said, I mean, with Dungy, when he scrambled, you knew he tucked the ball and he was.
He wasn't going to throw usually.
Right. So, and the one thing that I noticed with Justin and his tape is that he can scramble, but it's the scrambling and kind of like prolonging the play. He's always keeping his eyes down the field and he's keeping his options open. He only on certain plays.
Last resort.
Right. It's more of a last resort kind of run. Now he can go ahead and, I mean, obviously being the 26th dual threat quarterback in this class, he can definitely put the ball down and run. But I think that's the one strength that he has over Dungy. I don't think that he's going to have the guts, and I don't know if he's ever going to get to the size that Dungy had, you know, some of the, just the gutsy plays. I mean, we can go back in history and time and talk about those plays. We all know what we're talking about. And I'm not saying that this kid doesn't have guts, but he's definitely one of those guys where I'm going to prolong this play as long as possible without having to get hit. And a lot of times that's where you get those receivers that get open, because it's hard to guard a guy for 4, 5, 6 seconds if you're prolonging the play.
Well, when we talk guts, and we look at, you know, comparing him to Dungy, you know, Dungy did amazing things, but he abused his body. He used himself up. You look at Justin's tape, he's got a line. He's got a line. Yep. He's going to slide. Okay.
Right.
That's smart. Yep. I mean, we kind of need that. Right. So, but he does though. He makes those moves. He can stretch those plays, like you said, but he's a little more safe. He's not a, like we call Dungy a warrior for a reason, because he's an absolute freaking warrior. I mean, he did not
slide.
We didn't
always say that the things that he did were the smartest things, right?
Right.
Like his body.
Yeah.
I mean, as a fan, you love it when the guy goes out there and the things that Dungy did, right?
I told you I loved when Dungy got unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. I didn't care. I'd take them all day.
Oh, yeah. and the way he just would go take on linebackers and stuff, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's just something that it's gonna be hard to forget.
I mean, those were the chill moments. Those are the moments that give you goosebumps with Dungy. You go back and watch them, they give you goosebumps.
No, kicking that guy in Miami, you know, jumping up and flying kicking the
knee. Guy. Yeah.
Throwing the interception and then him ripping it from the defensive end. Like, there's countless plays like that in Dungy's career, you know. But this kid, like I said, I mean, you see it nowadays, and one of the biggest ones was like, I'm not comparing him to Pat Mahomes, but I'm saying this is what you see with Pat Mahomes in the NFL. One of the best things he can do, he can run, but you don't see him taking a lot of hits, right? You see him prolonging the play and very accurate strong arm, and he waits until there's a receiver open, keeps his eyes downfield, and like we said, last resort, he'll run or slide, you know. But he's protecting his body, and that's the one thing that I saw with this kid.
Okay, so moving on. Bayhem's Army, they're going to move to what? The Exciting Eight? Can you say it?
Well, I wanted to mention one more thing.
Oh, that's right. Leech, you remember this time. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, because I forgot about Jatay's gear and that. But looking at 247 Sports, crystal ball prediction, I've been reading a couple. I think Syracuse.com put an article out there. There's linebacker out of Milford, Pennsylvania, Jason Henderson. He's another priority target, which is another one of the last two that we talked about were priority targets. And he's a 6'1", 210-pound outside linebacker. And I know it doesn't sound impressive, but I urge you, Jason Henderson, just go look at his tape. He's got us in our last four. The crystal ball prediction has him choosing Syracuse. And I think he's one of those guys where he's a little undersized. So he's got, you know, I think some of the Army, Navy, you know, Academy school, stuff like that. But he's very, very athletic. And I'll tell you what, he plays like he's bigger than 6'1", 210. Go ahead and take a look at, and go look at his tape, because that might be the 15th commit in this class very shortly.
I was on mute. Okay. Joe wanted to call it. He did.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Call. He did say after we got off the air last time, he said Jateus. He forgot to mention Jateus gear. So.
Yeah, so I just didn't want
it to happen
two times in a row.
I will tell you, though, every time we get off, no matter what the situation or what's going on, one of us is like, oh, my gosh, I forgot this or I forgot that.
Yeah, yeah. So, almost every time. Oh, I wanted to say that.
Pretty much. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whatever. It happens. But anyway, look, Boeheim's Army, they're going to move on to the exciting eight, elite eight, whatever you want to call it, in the TBT. They won, as we mentioned early, 76-69 against Men of Mackey. It was a little closer than I liked. So we're going to do a little good, bad, and the ugly. I got to get back into the swing of this. So let's see. The good. Eric Diefendorf, he became TBT's fourth all-time leading scorer, which is amazing after that game. He went 9-14 for 20 for a game, which was the game high there. Richardson with 15. 10 from the charity stripe. Boeheim's Army actually went 28 for 32 from the line, 87.5%. The bad, some of the shot selection allowed Menemaki to bring the game pretty close after being up by 10 going into the third quarter. I think they were, you know, up by 2 going into the fourth or something like that. So, but also down low, obviously we have the size problems. Menemaki outscored Boeheim's Army 36-26 in the paint. And in second chance points was 13-4, according to Nunes. The ugly, 4-21 from deep, 19% from behind the arc. Just not good. Not great, Bob. So,
yeah, no.
That's going to have to change. They're going to have to do a little bit more down low. They're obviously a little small, and they're going to have to hit those shots because they should have probably crushed Menemaki, in my opinion. I wasn't that impressed with that team, but it was
their
just
first game.
I understand. Yep. Got the little jitters going on there.
Yes,
first game
you're
in a long time.
7-3 Ivan Drago.
Yep. So there's that. Absolutely. I totally agree. But
so I don't think there's another guy as big as him in the tournament. So,
well, that's good.
Well, yeah,
that's good. We'll bring on James, talk about Diamond Stone, see what's going on with him. For sideline cancer, another pretty big guy. So I think he's like 6'11", 255 or something.
I think I've heard something, but I'm not going to – I won't.
Yeah, I think I did too. In fact,
James
told me, so we'll bring him on in a second. What do you got to say about the last game, Joe? Anything before we bring James on?
There was a lull there where I –
Yes, very Syracuse-ish lull.
Yeah, one-on-one, a lot of just bad shots. Yeah. I know that sometimes I'm critical of Dante Green, and I think offensively, offensively he did get to the offensive. I mean, to the free throw line,
he didn't do
really
bad.
Well,
points wise,
he didn't shoot a great percentage. Point wise, he didn't do bad. But as far as deep, that's really what impressed me was defensive wise. Him going out there and having to play that center position, which I don't believe he played at all at Syracuse. It's just one of those things where
one rebound away from a double-double. It's for what he was having to do, it's not terrible.
He impressed me as far as defense and holding his own. For a minute there, I thought he was going to foul out early, but being able to, I mean, playing against that 7-3 Haas and still being able to hold your own and get the rebounds, and he got a couple steals, and then our defense, I feel like, kind of kicked it up a notch at the end of the game, started finding the passing lanes and getting some steals. So they finished it off, but again, you'd like to see a little bit more continuity, but who knows how much practice time they've gotten. So, I mean, there's so many variables. Nothing I really saw surprised me, but I kind of on the same page as you as far as I felt like they should have probably handled it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I'll chalk it up to nerves. That's fine. Okay. So let's bring James on. But first, obviously, we're going to have to talk about BetOnline one more time. One more time. You guys know the deal. If you're going to bet online, there's only one place to go. BetOnline.ag, okay? The most important thing about BetOnline.ag, go there and check out the TBT stuff. But even if there's sports not going on, even if sports were to disappear, they've got the simulated sports, NFL, NBA, UFC, probably NCAA once that starts back up, happening live every day for the devout gamblers. So check it out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of the live casino games. You've got that, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. So visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device today. Join now and receive your welcome bonus. betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. Thank you, BetOnline. All right, so let's bring James on. All right, there it is, the official intro music for James and Tyler. This time, it's James. At James Zuba on Twitter, the Syracuse Orange basketball beat writer for Noon's Magician. James, how you doing, buddy?
We got the throwback song in here, man.
Yeah, I like the... Is that a new headset?
It is. It's newish. I got it when I came up here. It's a Turtle Beach meant for my PS4, but I just started using it for Skype videos now. So,
you know,
talking with us now.
That's awesome. You know what I love more than the headset is that you're a PS4 guy, not an Xbox guy. That I love.
Yep.
That I love.
Yes.
So,
yes, sir.
All right. Well, look, let's talk some Boeheim's Army, and then we'll talk about your the little interview you had with Malachi, which is it's everywhere. You can go to Noons and watch it. We posted it Facebook and Twitter. You can check it out there. So the 3-seed Boeheim's Army is going to face the 23-seed or 22-seed? 22-seed.
22, yes.
Yeah, yep. Sideline Cancer. This Saturday at 4 o'clock on ESPN. Joe and I just talked briefly about the last game. A little Syracuse lull there towards about the three-quarter point, three-quarter of the way through the game, which is typical.
Yes.
A team they probably could have hammered on, missed a lot of shots from the outside, and kind of – you know, well, typical first game. You talked to Malachi, said, you know, got the jitters out. Malachi hasn't played since his surgery in January. So, I mean, what'd you see there? And then tell us what you think about Sideline Cancer.
Yeah. Just like every Syracuse game that's ever been played. Right.
Mm-hmm.
First it's been really good just to have like sports back on, and
absolutely,
it sounds like TBT's doing everything the right way in terms of like health and, you know, safety, and that's the priority, and they're definitely taking the testing like very serious. So you know, I don't know if this is something that could like occur anywhere else, but you know, it's definitely been just good to have sports back on TV, and you know, just something to look forward to. But yeah, as for the game, like I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, Syracuse pretty good first half. You know, they had a 10-point lead at the half. Malachi hit that three going into the break, and then kind of let them come back in. You know teams are going to make a run. I don't think anybody is like really, maybe one or two, but I don't think anybody's really blown anybody out in TBT, which has been more fun that way. But then, you know, they made their run, and Devo took over. I mean, Devo had a great third quarter. He was getting to the rim. He's attacking with that left, finishing with the left, as we've seen him do so often. And one thing the Boeheim's Army guys did that I think – other teams haven't done so well when they've had the lead going into the Elam ending is they still controlled the game and they still played well. I think some of these other teams kind of they've frozen up a little bit, or, you know, it becomes a different game with the Elam ending, but credit to them for closing it out and playing strong all the way through.
Yeah. They made Menemaki kind of play a sloppy Elam ending. It was not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
depending on your lead, I mean, if you just play tough, right, go to the hole, get to the line like we did, you just chip away at those points. I mean, you've seen some of these guys where they're down four, or they're only 4 points away or 3 points away from the Elam ending, and they're just hucking up threes. I mean, you see the upset today? Our dad came back. They were down by like 18 at some point. I mean, that was a great comeback. They were down, I think it was 97-91, and they were playing to 101. Now the team just kept shooting threes, shooting threes, shooting threes, instead of just going to the line like what Syracuse did. They could have easily put that down, but like to James' point, a lot of teams are doing that. That Elam ending, I think, changes the mentality of how you close out games.
Yeah, a little bit, because you play to 4 minutes. Most of those games don't go past what that 4-minute mark would be either. So you're doing a lot before the 4 minute mark too. Like it really wasn't setting up great for us before the 4 minute mark. I think they hit something and got to go to the line with no time on the clock. Yeah. So it wasn't setting up great. And we had what we had was a 69, I think we had to score 7. So it could have went anyway. And it's exciting like that, but it's like so typical. So typical.
Jeez. You do. I kind of had a feeling. I thought that they were going to win, like, based on the way the game was going, but that it was going to be a little bit tighter. I was like, right. They're going to win by, like, 3. Like, watch them win by 3. I just, like, had that feeling, you know?
Yeah, typical.
But what do you guys think of the Elam ending? Do you like it? Or are you not a fan of it?
I love it in this setting. I don't want to see it in college basketball. I don't.
Yeah.
But this setting, I think it's perfect. I think it's great. Adds that little bit of excitement. There's too much at risk in the NCAA to play around with the end of a game.
Yeah.
But this I like. You know, they want to draw fans in. Like you don't need to draw fans into NCAA games. That's added excitement. Yeah. It keeps it close. You know it's always gonna be close and it's always gonna be a fight. You know, you can watch the last 4 minutes of an NCAA game and you know who's gonna win. You know, I mean it's not even close. So
well, I mean, it's a basketball tournament in the middle of the summer, right? So it's going to naturally get fans anyway. But when you add little nuances like that, I think it brings a little bit extra to it. And I think, there's the reason why last year, it was $2 million was prize money. I think this tournament, mm-hmm. and you've seen ex-NBA players in this tournament this year. Maybe it's because of the quarantine and everything that's been going on. But I feel like this tournament's getting bigger. It's not something that's going to go away. So I enjoy the Elam ending for this. Year. Yeah, 100%.
You know, more and more NBA guys. You get a lot of good pros that, you know, everybody's familiar with the alumni teams and maybe some big college players. But the thing I like about TBT is you have guys that you've never even heard of that, you know, maybe they played at a small school or didn't get the media attention when they were in college. And, you know, they go overseas for a few years and they're really good.
Yeah. You know?
So that's one thing that I like about the TBT too. But
I like the alumni teams. I like the alumni teams. I like the field of them.
Yeah.
It kind of brings back kind of a little bit old school feel, even when you see like an Aaron Kraft out there, you know?
Yeah. See.
Kraft's done now, baby. That was his last game.
Yeah.
That's what he says, right?
Yeah.
Still a defensive pest and couldn't hit threes.
It would be nice if this tournament grew big enough to be able to just have all alumni teams. I don't think we're there right now. And you get these teams like Overseas Elite, Joe Johnson and some of these other guys. I mean, even the team that heard that ended up upsetting today. I mean, that was their first game, but that was a good team. It had a lot of really good, like, ex-basketball, you know, players as far as college. Kyle Wilcher, some of these other guys. Tony Roten, who played in the NBA. So, I mean, they're definitely getting a lot of bigger names. It's just I would love to get to a point where it was just all alumni, but I just – definitely not there yet.
Elmore is an American hero. He's going out there. He's the everyman. He's about 30 pounds overweight. He's balding. He's going out there, and he's hitting threes. So
that's amazing.
That guy.
Oh, yeah. That dude is – he's living large right now, him and his brother. Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's got to be a fun ride for them. He said – I guess he said if he wins, he's going to take his team to Vegas for a good time. So.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Love it.
So we talked about Aaron Kraft. He said he's done. You know, Dievendorf seems like his tank never goes, you know, 3 quarters. But how much longer do you think he's got? I guess he's going to go back to Detroit and try to coach. And what do you think?
That guy's like a fine wine, man.
I know.
He just gets better and better with time. Like he was saying in the presser, I guess he's been a vegan
for the past
2 or 3 years.
Yeah. A vegan diet
now.
He
says it helps, you know, like keeping him so he's not as sore and it reduces inflammation, and he really swears by it. But
sounds awful.
Like Blackwell was saying, he stays in good shape, so that wasn't really a concern for him coming in. And you know, obviously he looks great. He's still a competitor. You love to see him get out there, and he's as competitive as ever, man. I think he could keep doing it for a few more years. I think he wants to as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a couple games, right? It's only a couple weeks, sure. And during the summer. I mean, and how about Boeheim coming on and how he talked about how he's been down in the basement doing battles with his son and stuff like that. Like, I love that. That's great. And only I can only hope that maybe he teaches Buddy a little something too to add to his game for next year.
Can I just say I love how much Jim Boeheim comes on and true to form, as stubborn and as competitive as ever, and you know, like something to prove. He's like, huh, you know, people say I'm too old, I can't get out there. Well, we'll see.
It's like, yeah.
Jim Boeheim, not going to be daunted by a virus.
Exactly. Determined. Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's what, 73? Right?
75.
Okay.
Yeah, but did that surprise any Syracuse fan?
Hell no. But people who don't follow Syracuse that are watching that are like, man, this guy just doesn't change. You know, it's crazy. My whole life, that guy's been coaching Syracuse. My whole life.
Yep.
It's awesome.
All of our lives.
I'm the old one here. All right. Well, what do you think about sideline cancer, James? I mentioned to you last night. You got back with me today, but I don't know how many people know about Diamond Stone, which is a great name. You know, we thought Giovanni Heater was a great name, but Diamond Stone. So big guy, 6'11", 255. Injured sore foot.
Yeah, he was a big guy. He had a good first round game for them, but in the presser today, Ryan Blackwell said, as far as he knows, he has a torn or a ruptured Achilles, and he will not be playing. So he didn't sit with him last game. So I don't expect to see him if that's the case. Obviously, which is a big relief for Boeheim's Army, obviously, because. You know, I mean, I think Dante did a fine job on Isaac Haas, but Diamond Stone would be a little bit tougher of a matchup for him just because I don't think Isaac Haas is a really physical big man. I think he's more of like a finesse player down there. So I think they kind of dodge a bullet there, you know, not only because of that and the rebounding out of the 2-3 zone, but, you know, you really do have limited capacity at the center now because you have Dante in there and then you have Will Raymond in there, both guys a little bit undersized, and you really only have – you know, 12 fouls to work with, which, you know, it sounds like a lot, but when you only have two guys down there, it's really not. So you don't want to play the foul game and, you know, God forbid one or two of those guys foul out and you got to play somebody else at the center. So I think that's a big, you know, they dodged a bullet there with him not having to worry about him, but there are some other guys on that team they do have to worry about.
Well, tell us about him, James. I didn't do my research. I just called you.
I didn't do much research myself, but... I can say, spitballing, is they got a guy, Marcus Keene, who's a really tough guard. He's really quick. He can get into the lane. He can shoot it. He can create. Fun story, actually. He's from Texas, so him and John Gillen are familiar with one another. So that should be fun to watch. And they have Jamal Artis as well from Pittsburgh, who you guys might remember.
Yep.
He's been a zone killer in the past, you know, kind of.
Yep.
Getting to that short corner, you know, how many times did he get it, you know, 8 to 10 feet in the short corner and bury a jumper or the high post? So
yeah, free throw line. Yep,
that's definitely a guy they got to worry about, especially if they're going zone tomorrow.
Well, what do you think? Yeah. You got Syracuse has 3 games to win to get in the championship. I think it's possible, but it's not going to be easy. And obviously, you know, you got to deal with when would they possibly play overseas elite. Would that be – that wouldn't be to the championship, would it?
I think it would be a back-to-back if they
– Yeah, if they won – if they win Saturday, they got to play Sunday.
Yeah.
And then the championship is on Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, it would be overseas elite.
Okay, that's why.
So they're playing the winner.
Unless America's team wants to pull the upset.
Yeah, that's true. Heard that, yeah. So – yeah, this team is – I mean, I watched the first game, a little bit of it, and other than Marcus Keene, they got another shooting guard, Maurice Creek, who's pretty tall, and he's pretty good. And they also got Remy Abel, shooting guard from Xavier, and he kind of lit it up from the three-point line as well. The good thing is again, like to what James alluded, is having Diamond out. I mean, that helps tremendously. Their next tallest guy is 6'9", so it's going to be kind of a fair match between what we're going up against now. He is averaging 11.5 points. I believe it's Eric Thomas, 6'9", is the backup center, and he is averaging 11.5 rebounds, and he is very active on the boards. So got to watch out for him as far as offensive rebounds and stuff, but they're not that deep, and hopefully it's something that we can get past. But again, to James' point, Jamel Artis, as long as he was on Pittsburgh, we struggled to beat them. Yeah, he just made jump shots all over the place. He found the open spots, and he just buried mid-range jumpers all day long. And if you don't think that he's going to have some type of, you know, talking to the team and the coach and trying to let them know how to beat Syracuse, then you're sadly mistaken.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
So it's going to be interesting because they got great guards, and Jamel Artis is that X factor, I believe.
See, Joe's on the scout, man. Joe knows.
Yeah, and you heard him mad typing it back there. So he does it quick. He does a lot of stuff on the fly, bro. He comes here. He this is what's amazing about Joe. This is my blowing smoke up his butt. tell Joe what we're talking about and he'll get on and I'll try to intro things and talk and he'll be typing away and boom, that's it. He doesn't prepare at all. He just has his laptop there. If he needs to look something up, he does. So, hey, look at this, James. What do you think about that? What do you think
I
about
prepare.
Someone? Why prepare if, you know, you can just get the info on the fly like that?
Right.
You improvise that well. Why do you need to prepare? No. Yeah, Landshark, that's great. People listening in, Sean just put up a Landshark to the camera. So that's what he's doing.
And Joe's McUltra. And James has got lemon water?
Yep.
It's boom. Excellent. Hey, if I'm drinking anything but beer, it's usually lemon water. That's
the best thing for you.
Cleanses your liver. So if you drink beer, lemon water. Just rotate them, and you'll be all set. So
that's how.
You had Malachi Richardson on. It was a pretty entertaining interview. Got some insight into the TBT. So they go in there. They're basically quarantined within the walls of this place, right? Where do they play? Do they travel from the from a hotel to arena?
So they are playing in Columbus, Ohio, a Nationwide arena, and they're all staying at a nearby hotel, which yes, they're quarantined in. They're not allowed to leave. They're fed meals. They have limited options according to Malachi. Testing very frequently. There is a small space that they can go outside and relax, but they're not allowed to officially leave the premises. And they're tested frequently, and they're not really allowed to go anywhere else so long as they're still in the tournament.
Where can they practice? What?
That's a good question. I don't know if they're actually practicing in a, you know, like a spare gym or like an auxiliary gym somewhere in Nationwide Arena. But you know, admittedly for that, I'm not admittedly sure where they do practice. Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting how Malachi was saying he had to be in his room for 24 hours straight, waiting for, I assume waiting for his test results and stuff like that. Is that what it all was? Or just to...
Can only assume that, right?
Well, he got there a day early
Before
everybody else. So if that's what it is, you know, he got there early. So, but yeah, I mean, once they're waiting for their test results, can't go anywhere, can't do anything. So, yeah, they really are in a bubble there.
And the last thing you want to do is, like he said, you know, be that guy that slips up at some point and then all of a sudden tests positive. And let's be honest, they can test negative going in there and got infected with something a week before they arrived and have it show up in, you know, maybe even a few days from now. So, you know what I mean? So chances are while they're there, they're not going to contract anything or it's going to linger for 2 weeks or whatever. So anyways, it's just interesting. And he talked about, I thought it was interesting how he talked about the fans, and we wondered about this for the players. And he mentioned it, like, he got to come up with your own energy because the fans aren't there. And that's the main thing I think as a player. But like he said, once you get playing, you're playing, and they're not even thinking about it, but you aren't getting that extra boost from the crowd. And as we all know, Syracuse fans travel, not to mention, you know, if this was in a normal setting, we would have had a spot at, you know, in Syracuse, you know, for the first bit of that. So anyway, I guess they do a good job of, he said they do a good job of blocking it off and whatnot, making you feel like, you know, you're not like in some huge arena that's completely empty, basically.
Yeah, even on TV, it looks good. You know, just kind of how they blocked everything off. And put up the ads and the banners of the previous winners. They did a really good job with all that.
Yeah. So
make it feel like an AAU game.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it does.
It kind of is. It kind of has like a little AAU or like, you know, conference tournament feel to it, the way that it's set up with a hotel nearby. And it really does look like that.
I was hoping to hear a little bit more.
Let him play too.
Yeah.
Refs let him play.
I was hoping to hear a little more on the floor type stuff, but they must kind of filter some of that out, I think.
There's been like the audio cutting in and out. I don't know if that's just like a...
It's like a pickup thing. Effects.
Yeah, I don't really, you know, I don't know how that really works, if it's like, you know, an audio problem or if they're actually cutting stuff out. But I noticed that a little bit. The audio kind of cuts in and out.
So switch gears here real quick. I'm going to blindside you with some football stuff. The Big Ten, they said they're only going to play in conference. So, Joe, does that worry you at all as far as people following suit?
100%.
So, yes. I mean, what do? We just fill with conference games?
Well, there was
games,
rumors
obviously.
About the Patriot League, right? Then the Ivy League goes, and then boom, bang, this happens. And it's like, now you got a big boy that did it. So, and now you got to look at it like based upon Patriot League, Ivy League, Big Ten, you can wipe away our Colgate game. You can wipe away our Rutgers game.
What's the difference, though? What's the, and I'm not being a wise guy, I'm being serious. What's the thought process behind it?
I think if I had to reasonably think about it, I think it's a situation where normally you have more non-conference games earlier, so maybe it gives you a little bit more time to prepare.
Oh, so we're not going to fill the schedule. We're getting rid of them, and we're going to go down to 6 games.
Yeah, but I say that, but Boston College is our first game. So
okay, right.
I mean, normally the earlier games are more of your non-conference games, but I don't know what the benefit is. And maybe James, you guys, I know this is new, but I mean, you'd figure if they were nervous about playing at all, then they wouldn't play at all versus just conference.
Right.
So.
These schools are in different states all over the country. I mean,
yeah, it's, you know, I think we're one step closer to not having a football season this year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's really what it is. You know, hate to be like the bearer of bad news there, but I think these guys are going to try to do everything they can. You know, obviously we know that football is the big money maker for these schools, right? And without a football season this year, there's going to be a really big ripple effect throughout college athletics as a whole, because so many of these athletic departments rely on that football money to fund all their other programs. We've already seen cuts. We've already seen other players that are coming back for workouts test positive. So there's still a lot that we don't know. You know, you look at schools that are opening up on the whole. You know, some have said that they're going to operate online. Some have said there's talk about doing partially online, partially on campus. But, like, you know, it kind of brings in the contradiction. Well, if you're not going to have regular students on campus, how can you have student athletes on campus?
Right.
So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot involved in this. But as for Syracuse specifically, you know, I mean, it's still technically on the table. But, you know, I would be surprised if we did get – we're definitely not getting a normal college football season. That's already off the table.
Oh, yeah.
But I would be surprised if we got a college football season this year.
And to your point, why I fear the same thing – you know, is because of the point I brought up, like, what's the difference? Like, okay, if the Big Ten's going to play the Big Ten and the Patriot League's going to play the Patriot League and the ACC is going to play the ACC, then they all have obviously been following all protocol that they're all following. They should all be following in the same way. And then what's the difference? Why can't you intermingle? Right. What's the difference? You're already intermingling. It's different states. You know, you got New York playing South Carolina. I mean,
right.
But, so I mean, it's scary. It's scary. It's scary.
You look at it like, as far as Rutgers goes, look how, I mean, it's New Jersey and New York, right? Same thing as Colgate. If these things go through, those are probably the two closest teams in proximity that Syracuse plays all year, and we're not going to play them because of this rule, right? But we're still going to go and play Georgia Tech, and we're going to go play Clemson. All these other teams, right? So
Florida.
And then going, and going to James's point, you know, it's just kind of how it's par for the course of what everything's going, right? So if you can make money for an organization, then you're deemed an essential student, right? You're deemed an essential
student. Student athletes.
The unpaid student athletes that makes the school money is an essential student that can come on campus, right?
All of a sudden, they're exposed.
I mean, it's just one of those things where you never really know where they're going to stop, like you said. And that's why I think eventually this big boy conference came up and they said, okay, we're doing this. I expect every other conference to eventually follow, with SEC probably being last. And I guess the only thing I can think of is you take away the non-conference games and you push back all the other games, maybe gain another month. And
then just do your
conference. I don't know the reasoning. It doesn't make any sense. They didn't really explain it that well when they actually broke the news today as far as reasoning. So, again, that just alludes to me and what James said, is that this is another step where everyone's going to follow suit, and then it's going to be the next step, and then there's going to be no football.
Oh, and then
pretty
soon.
Or do we do it in the spring, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, well, you know, or earlier in the summer. Instead of early fall, you do it midsummer or something. It's too late for that, though. Let's be honest. If you're going to pull that switch or flip that switch, you do it at the beginning of August. You're already making plans for that. Or mid-July, right, for crying out loud. You know, could be 2 weeks away at this point. Should be if they were going to do it. So it's probably not going to happen. Like you said, James, you just crushed everybody with the truth. The truth hurts sometimes. We're that much closer to not watching football this year, basically. And then what comes after football, guys? What comes during football?
Basketball.
Okay. Right. And that's indoors.
And the crux of it, too, is you say, well, we have to decide, is there going to be no – if we decide there's no football, then all of a sudden you have to go into, okay, well, what are we going to do for all these students?
Oh, what are they going to get another
year?
Yeah, another year.
Right? So this poses so many questions that – and there's so many variables that affect so many different people that it's hard to come up with the best answer.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know if anything outside should be canceled. I know contact sport and everything, but I don't know. I think it sucks. I think it sucks so
bad. Only time will tell, sir.
I know. But
all I know is I'm a lot less confident after today.
I know. I'm with you. All right. That's all I got. James, thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on in short notice, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. You know I love coming on, and it's a lot of fun just coming, talking spitball with you guys. So always a pleasure. Anytime, you know that.
Yeah, absolutely. We love having you on.
James, what do you think? Prediction for the game on Saturday?
I think Boeheim's Army gets it done on Saturday. I don't know that they can get it done against Overseas Elite, but hey, you never know. Heard that might pull the upset, and Malachi said himself that they feel pretty confident they're going to get to that championship game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
No, hey, I like the other side. I like the way the other side of that bracket's looking right now. It's not as strong as our side.
Down. Yeah.
Right. I mean, House of Pain's pretty solid, but you got Brotherly Love, who got through with, you know, a team getting knocked out. So. There's a couple good teams, but I don't see it. I mean, Marquette's team is pretty good too. That's a solid team, alumni team. So, and what's the other one? Red Scare, Dayton. They were playing pretty good as well. So, we'll see. But nothing has really got anything on Overseas Elite right now.
Per the usual. thanks again, James. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thank you to Armchair Media. Thanks to Manscaped, and thanks BetOnline.ag. For Joe and James tonight, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace. Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Thanks, James.
Boeheim's Army would get smoked by Overseas Elite.